big welcome to the Heritage Council podcast. This year, our podcast will explore the multi-layered experiences which encompass Ireland's past and will also put into context how this sense of heritage is all about our collective experience and why so much that went before still resonates in the present. I hope you enjoy the show. Every street corner, every meandering alleyway, every old shop facade tells its own story. Our streetscapes are woven into the heart of Irish life and are a crucial part of our heritage. The Historic Towns Initiative, run by the Heritage Council in partnership with the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage, aims to protect and preserve a vital thread in Ireland's past. This year, a 1.5 million fund has been made available for the heritage-led regeneration of 10 towns after a competitive process. These include Tralee in County Kerry, Ballyshannon in County Donegal, Ballina in County Mayo, Roscommon in County Roscommon, Sligo in County Sligo, Tramore in County Waterford, Birr in County Offaly, Enniscorthy in County Wexford, Navan in County Meath, and Callan in County Kilkenny. The money will provide vital jobs boost and act as an economic stimulus, helping to rebuild local economies with heritage as a focal point. The initiative follows on from similar highly successful programmes in 2018, 2019 and even in 2020. Last year, 1 million in funding was available under the scheme. In today's podcast, Ian Doyle, Head of Conservation with the Heritage Council, explains the key components of the scheme and how it plays into the overall heritage strategy. The programme is a joint initiative between the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage and the Heritage Council. On with the show. Ian Doyle, Head of Conservation for the Heritage Council, a big welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Thank you, Greg. It's great to be here.
And for the listener, what does Ian Doyle do?
Well, I work for the Heritage Council. I have since 2003. I started as an archaeologist there. I feel like I've been through a couple of career cycles in that time. Everything changes, and you know, that's a good thing. But one of the things that I do at the moment is I'm in charge of a program that we run with the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage called the Historic Towns Initiative. And it's basically a program that we run in partnership with the local authorities as well for the heritage-led regeneration of our towns.
And the thinking behind the Historic Towns Initiative, what's the whole drive behind it?
The Historic Towns Initiative, it's a vehicle to work with the local authorities to ensure heritage-led regeneration of our towns. Now, what does that mean? We've always had the view that heritage is a huge way to provide an uplift to a town. One of the earliest projects in Ireland that I would see as heritage-led regeneration was the Old Guard in Clonmel. It's a 17th century building on the Mall, and just it being conserved in the 1990s just sent out a signal of confidence in the streetscape there. And it lifted that whole street. And there's been other towns where that have done other projects like that as well. Youghal, for instance, conservation on the town walls. They were one of the first towns in Ireland to go for what they saw as heritage-led regeneration. They had seen this approach in the UK in the early 2000s. And it's essentially that the state invests in key buildings in the public realm, in their conservation, in their care, and that the private sector follows suit. So when we tried to apply this in Ireland, we started off with a pilot scheme of Westport, Youghal and Listowel about 2013, 2014. And we learned a lot of lessons from that. And then we started to apply those in 2018 when we set up the first Historic Towns Initiative. And we funded a number of towns there, every place from, let's see, where did we go that year? Youghal, Ballinrobe, a few places like that. We learned a lot there in terms of investing in the public realm and in the buildings. And then we've just built it up since. So in 2020, we allocated 1 million to Sligo Town, Remelton in Donegal, Ballina, County Mayo, Clonus, County Monaghan, Roscommon Town, Callan, County Kilkenny, and Tralee, County Kerry. So Tralee, I think, is the focus of this conversation. And that was just an amazing project where we learned a lot, and there was a huge achievement made. A lot of those projects in general in 2020, there were times it felt like the Mission Impossible music was playing in the background because of COVID, getting contractors on site. But in fairness, all of the grantees really worked really hard, and their contractors, and we achieved some amazing results.
Were you the Tom Cruise in the movie? When you mention that these projects are a signal of confidence within the actual tones, of course it's a signal of confidence, but it's also a signal to everyone walking past these places every day, be they residents of the town or be they visitors, that it's a signal of importance as well. Obviously there's beauty and there's history and heritage, but there's a pride of place. So as well as that signal of confidence, I think it does something to everyone involved. And before we're recording this, I chatted to Victoria McCarthy, who's the conservation manager for Kerry County Council, who I think coordinated and would have been the driver behind that project in Kerry. And that was the big thing that I got from her, is that it makes a huge difference, as well as the specific activity. It allows so many other things to actually happen. So the actual process around this, Ian, I know a few years that it's been running, I think it's been pretty much a fund that's been there and that's been allocated, give or take, to six different locations in each of the years. And I know that fund is increasing with each year. How does it work?
We run a call every year. We put out the call in December with a closing date generally early in February. And we always run a seminar in January where we showcase the previous year's projects. And I think people find that really helpful. They see what it is we're looking for, what succeeds. And I think that helps inform people. I think the key for people looking at these projects is partnership. They need to have quite a bit of work done on the ground. So if you're intent on conserving a streetscape in terms of working with owners, you need to have a good relationship with them in terms of their hopes and expectations. But it's also predicated upon 20% match funding. So in a way, it's a good deal. If you're a building owner, you put up 20% match funding and you will get works done to the exterior of your building. It might be your roof, might be your windows. So that's good. And then we assess our applications. We award the projects generally late February, and the projects need to be completed then by November, because we need to have the money all drawn down by late November, early December. You touched upon a couple of interesting points there about sending out a signal. I think it was New York that talked about the broken window idea, where people take their cues from the environment around them. If you see a building that is rough around the edges, the roof might be half fallen in, the windows are boarded up, people seem to feel that this is an area in decline, or it might be more prone to littering or graffiti or vandalism. Whereas if there's an area that's well cared for, people are more intent to behave respectfully towards it. And I think the extension of that is people are more willing to invest in it because you might get more footfall. I think the other sign that we've seen is that it's actually really important that the state, that bodies like the Heritage Council, send out a signal that traditional joinery, traditional windows, traditional lime plaster, caring for historic ironwork, it's actually really important. And sometimes when you look at ironwork from places like Tralee, if you went to cost to make that today, it would cost a small fortune. And in a lot of cases, the actual technique to make that from start nowadays would be very hard to find. So there's a huge legacy, there's a huge embodied cost and capital that we're given from the past. And just caring for that and saying to the local community, this is actually really important, that's a really important message. And the other really important point that comes out of all of this is if somebody goes to the trouble of investing as a tradesperson in their own traditional skills and skill set, I think it's really important that the state says that's so important. We're prepared to back you by funding conservation projects like this with private owners. So I think that sends out a really important signal. The state does have a range of grant supports like this. There's the Historic Towns Initiative that we are on with the department. Then there's also a whole host of other schemes between the local authorities and the Department of Housing, local government and heritage, such as their Historic Structures Fund, and then other ones like the Community Monuments Fund. So it's really important that there is state support for conservation projects like this, just to show that this heritage is valued, it's important. Could the funds be increased? Yeah, of course they could. We were delighted to get another $500,000. We have a fund of $1.5 million now for the Historic Towns Initiative. But it's an important step in that direction. The other point then obviously is, if you look at our towns, there's a little crisis of confidence in terms of urbanism, in terms of the future for a lot of these towns. We've done work with about 20 towns over the life of the Historic Towns Initiative since 2018. And I think that's just an important signal in saying that these towns are heritage. They have a huge historic element to them. And it's important to get people living back into them. And the really successful towns, they're not just investing in their historic buildings. They're looking at the public ground, the width of the footpaths, how they manage their traffic, how they can keep people in them, how they can keep shop floors in use, vacancy at a respectable level. So it's part of a wider process. A lot of these towns have been in decline 20, 30, 40 years. A year's investment in terms of their heritage or fabric is just a very short-term shot in the arm. But if we think about it over a longer-term trajectory in terms of looking after and caring for these places, they will have a great future. And I think the pandemic has shown us that towns are really important places in terms of to live in, to get out and about, get exercise in, and our heritage is a really important element of that.
And back to that conversation we're having about signals, it is a signal to the person or the individual who wants to get this work done on their premises. It's a signal to the residents that live around it, the street. But as you were saying, it's also a signal to the town in that we value you. And we don't want to see towns decaying, and we're willing to invest in them. And that's a really positive signal. In terms of the actual specific projects, Ian, and someone identifying that there's a mechanism to fund a particular piece of work, does that come from that individual, or does it come from the local county council? What's the dotted line to you with those applications?
I think the key we'd like to see is partnership. In terms of conservation, I think if a conservation officer or a heritage officer has a relationship built up maybe over time. So in Tralee, I know Victoria have been doing quite a bit of work in the historic town core around Denny Street and Day Place over a number of years, producing guidance, just building that relationship, getting to know people. And a lot of it is about building trust and creating that sense of confidence. So that always comes across. We've seen it in similar projects in Donegal as well, that genuine partnership between the community and local government. Local government is really well placed to be responsive and to build those relationships with people. It's a good delivery mechanism, but no town is going to be helped. We're not going to redress decline in any town with just local government or just estate agency. You have to have the traders, the business people, the residents, all the stakeholders involved, because it's really a team effort. We did a publication a couple of years ago called Bally Brilliant on heritage-led regeneration in Ireland. We came up with that title, just made it up in terms of a place, a utopian place. But it was grounded in experience that we'd seen across Ireland and through learnings that we'd come across. We have another program, the Irish Wall Towns Network. It's partnership. When all the stars line up and everybody's working together, you can achieve so much then. The other point then, I think, is a lot of these towns, what they really need is just confidence. If they see, again, that idea, that signal, that a bank might have pulled out, there's no sign of a bypass coming. A factory might have gone 10 years ago. Tourists might have disappeared as well. But if they see somebody in local government or in national government saying, actually, you've got a really interesting town here, the quality of your built heritage, that's really good. While those other things might have happened, you do have this resource. Every town has some form of heritage. A lot of them are different. If you take Listowel, there's an amazing literary heritage there, an amazing kind of built heritage, the McAuliffe plaster facades as well. There are lots of other towns. Yall, say, this amazing medieval heritage. Callan, fantastic kind of arts-inspired heritage, regeneration as well. So towns, they do have these things. Kells, County Meath as well. An amazing kind of artistic energy there as well. So you see that. And when you see an application coming in that partners that sense of local energy and distinctiveness with a really well thought out plan and partnership with the local authority, we can get in on it and we can send just that sense of confidence. And I think that helps.
Okay, so you can apply through your heritage officer, or in some cases you can go directly to the Heritage Council, to yourself, that it can work both ways.
Well, we have an online grant system that, you know, it comes in that way.
Okay.
People generally don't ring me looking for money. Yeah. We have processes and systems, and that works really well.
And the selection of the actual projects then, Ian, what's your criteria?
We've criteria, they're all set out in the guidance, the extent of the heritage in the town, the town's track record and looking after it, how well structured the project is, the degree of community involvement. Now, this year, we introduced a new criteria. We were very interested in how we can use this fund to build resilience in towns and in built heritage to meet the challenge of climate change. So we were asking people to elaborate the extent to which their project will help meet that challenge. So people really stepped up in terms of projects that gave clarity on how a building or a streetscape was going to meet the challenge of increased rainfall, how repairing the render and the rainwater goods was going to help challenges like that. And then most of them as well picked up on the fact that if you're looking after your existing building stock with all the embodied energy and carbon that's in them, you're not doing new build. And new build is quite heavy in terms of carbon emissions. So there's an expression in heritage that the greenest building is the one that already exists. So we're working on that basis. So once we get our applications in and they all address those criteria and give us all the information, the costings and details on what it is they want to do, a team from the Heritage Council sits down with the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage, and we normally have an external person as well from Foyle Ireland. They always have a good perspective on how a town is doing in terms of tourism and general performance. And we do our assessments and come up with a ranking list, and then it goes to our board for approval, and we get the letters of offer out late February, early March, and do our usual press coverage as well, and the minister launches it, announces it, and off we go.
And the heartbreaking part for you, Ian, must be all of those good applications that for one reason or another just didn't make the top list.
Yeah, well, what we try to do there is we give feedback how we can help them improve for further applications. So we'd a town like that, one town in particular, this year, and my heart soared when I saw it come in. It's a town with a lot of heritage. And as I read through it, I started, oh no, that could be stronger. My colleague shared that view, but I spent the best part of an hour giving feedback to that local authority 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm really hoping we get a stronger application in next year, and I'd be hoping we might even have a bigger budget.
Yeah. So in many respects, Ian, this is a big process. It's not kind of yes, no, and that's the end of it.
Ah, no. There's a culture in the Heritage Council. We'd always try to work with people to try help people get across the line and support them. And in fairness, the heritage officers and the local authorities and the architectural conservation officers, there's a good culture of learning there as well. And the seminar we do every year in January is about helping people just get up that way as well. So I think we'd always try to work with people.
Is there a mechanism, Ian, for people who have specific projects in mind where they can get a little bit of guidance? Or, you know, is this the type of thing that will be supported? Can they contact someone?
We'd always take queries in the run-in, let people bounce ideas off of us. The other things that a lot of towns have been very good at doing is they think of projects like this as having a lead-in. So if you think of Victoria in Tralee, she was doing projects in Denny Street, Day Place, with the owners for a couple of years beforehand. Seminars, walking tours, producing guidance documents on caring for windows, surveys of vacancy. That all helps because it helps you build it up. And then, you know, there are smaller grant schemes available. So that helps people build it up. People do historic towns grant schemes, and then they may go after that, they may go for larger grant schemes like rural development funding. That could be $500,000 or $1 million. So just a kind of a stepping stone. And I think people find that quite helpful. The funding just fits their needs and their ambitions as they scale up.
This year, 2021, and some of the projects that are happening around the country as part of the Historic Towns Initiative, do you want to have a chat about some of them, what people can look out for?
2021, I think we've our largest number of projects. Yes, we've 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Listowel, County Kerry, I see Victoria is trying to work her magic again in another town in County Kerry. Listowel's an amazing place in terms of its built heritage, but also its literary heritage. And there's a really strong community there. The McAuliffe plaster facades on the streets, they're kind of Celtic revival imagery from the late 19th, early 20th century. They're unique. They're remarkable. They're fantastic. There's nothing nicer than having a walk around one of the locals who knows them and who can tell you the story behind each of them and throw in a few stories about John B. Keane. It's just a really interesting place. So we're looking forward to that. Another really interesting application came in from Ballyshannon, County Donegal, a town just on the border. It's a really key, would have been a really key crossing point in prehistory across the Earn. So more built heritage projects, I think about 12 or 13 projects there that the local authority have formed a really strong partnership with the local community to conserve. Ballina, County Mayo, works to a protected structure gatehouse at the Billy Castle. Really interesting building that needs a little bit of TLC. Roscommon Town we funded last year, so they've come back in again for more support this year for streetscape conservation works, render, joinery, doors. That's really adding up into an interesting project. Really important Abbey and Castle and Roscommon. So they're joining the dots now in terms of the streetscape. Great partnership with the owners. Sligo, again, we funded that last year. They came back in again this year for more works on O'Connell Street, on some of the key buildings and a bridge. New one that came in this year was Tramore, County Waterford, the railway station, mid-19th century railway station, so quite early in terms of the history of railways. So the funding this year is to do the windows to get it back. The train left in the 1960s and never came back. So the idea is to get it open for community use. It could be a market, farmer's market, or community meeting facility. Some really interesting built heritage in Tramore. Some really interesting community-driven initiatives there as well. They featured in the Bally Brilliant book. There's a huge sense of local energy there. And Burr County Offaly then, what we've noticed a number of these projects as well is there's a problem in terms of deinstitutionalization. Now, what do I mean by that? The court service just consolidating and retracting into bigger buildings in fewer places around counties. So the courthouse in Burr has been empty and unused for about 10 years. So the local community in Burr, again, a really interesting Georgian town. It's an amazing heritage, a great track record in caring for it. Want to repurpose it as a community arts hub. And it's a smashing Victorian building as well. Again, really key part of the built heritage of Burr. So they want to do works to the render on the outside and the joinery. and that will make a huge contribution to the streetscape in Birr. So again, that could be another really fine example of heritage-led regeneration in that kind of small town. Enniscorthy, County Wexford, first time we've seen them this year. We've given them a grant to do works on Slaney Street. Enniscorthy was hit pretty hard in terms of unemployment and dereliction. So it's good to see the local authority coming to us with a proposal for one of the historic streets there. It's in an architectural conservation area to carry out works. Navan, similarly, Railway Street in Navan, a Victorian street just from the railway station into the historic town centre, to carry out works, the shop fronts, windows, joinery. And then another really interesting one, Callan, County Kilkenny, our last one, medieval church with a really interesting early 19th century cast iron railings that, if you were to try replicate those railings today, would cost millions in terms of the craftsmanship and the materials and the care that went into them. So about conserving them. And that will send out a really strong message that ironworking, you know, that kind of legacy from the past is just really important. It's the kind of thing that people don't see, but when it's cleaned up and it looks wonderful, you start picking out details and the sheer depth, tradition of craftsmanship. So really looking forward to seeing that one as well. But Callum has a really good track record in terms of heritage-led regeneration, where the community and the arts community and the conservation officer, Francis Cody, have come together, and it has the makings of a lovely project.
So the blacksmith, Brendan St. John from Tipperary, the guy that Victoria and those projects down in Kerry, he could be a busy boy.
Well, do you know what? Hopefully all those traditional craftspeople, the window people, the joiners, the people that repair sliding sash windows, that have such a sense of craft in terms of how you manage the weights, the people that know lime mortar, plaster, masons, the people that just kept the flame of those skills alive. I hope they'll be really busy, and I know they will, and the blacksmiths as well.
That's fantastic, Ian. And I think a lot of what you're talking about is aesthetics, you know, just how something looks. But some of it really is bringing old buildings, as you say, back into use, which is incredible, you know, giving them back to the citizens in a very, very practical way. In the work that you've done over the last few years, and you told me about your background and everything, what have you learned from doing this specific role with the Historic Towns Initiative?
Oh, there's a great question. I think there's a little bit of a crisis of confidence about towns at the moment. Some towns have been doing well, you know, the Westports, the Clonakilties, and Kilkenny. But it's no accident. They see what they have. They work really hard to keep it, and they care for it. It's like, you know, that expression, a puppy isn't for Christmas, it's for life. Caring for your town is a bit like that. It's not something you do intermittently. You have to stay switched on and focused on it. And similarly, if a town has been struggling for 20 or 30 years, or maybe since independence, it's a long-term, long game that you play to care for it and manage it. And sometimes people just need a little bit of encouragement. What you have here in terms of those railings is really important. I haven't seen one of those apart from such and such a town where they really care for them. And then people start to question, think, oh yeah, we really do have something distinctive there. Because in a world, in a kind of a globalized world where you can order parts from China, something that's locally distinctive, like those plaster facades in Listowel, to create such character, something that's unique, something that people can be proud of, and with a little bit of support, and let's face it, hard work and vision and just bringing people together, you can make an awful lot more of them.
Yeah, like on Victoria's project, it required 10 premises owners to come together and get that project going for all of the wrought iron railings. And you mentioned Clonakilty, like I'm from Cork and I get blown away by Clonakilty. But it's not an accident. Clonakilty have been ahead of the posse for as far back as I can remember.
Yeah.
It's a stunning town. It's beautiful and it's retained all of its character, but yet it's trendy and buzzy and energetic. Even in the middle of lockdown 2020, we went down there for a day. You couldn't stop the place. It was still buzzing. despite everyone wearing masks and everything else. Well, the tone is incredible, but there is an attitude and a passion about the place. And I guess in many respects, you're there to facilitate some of that attitude, but those places do need to come together themselves.
It is, but I think we all talk about the Clonakilties and the Westports. There are other places out there too. Like the energy you'll see in places like Tramore, Listowel, even Kilmallock, through the Irish Wall Towns Network, we've seen huge energy invested there in walkways, conserving the medieval town fabric, and just caring for what's there. Yeah, sure, there's a lot more work that can be done. It's a long-term process, but there are other towns, maybe not as well known as the Clonakilties and Westports, that have looked deep into their hearts, had that kind of crisis and thought, what can we do? What do we have here? Can we make much better of it? And I think programs like this, and indeed others, this isn't the only program that's doing that, can make a huge difference. And a little bit of funding from national government and local government just helps people pick themselves up and get moving.
Yeah, and back to your opening comment about if you're living in a place where it's a bit derelict and there's a bit of rubbish on the streets and everything, and there's boarded up windows and a few things that have been allowed to get into disrepair. Without being a rocket scientist, you're going to think very quickly, well, no one cares about this place, so why should I?
Yeah.
And then maybe you end up disrespecting it, or your children or their children or whatever, and before you know it. But when the opposite happens and you take out the paintbrush and you start repairing a few of these bits and pieces, you can get any of these places. And it is just down to, a bit of pride of place and a bit of focus.
I mean, if I could just say one more thing. Heritage is like glue. It brings people together. People concerned about the condition of a building or a historic graveyard that's overgrown. And you know, people start talking. They call a meeting. They might apply for funding. There's their first pat on the back. Wow. There's our first spring in the step. And then they start moving and start getting things done. And yeah, it's great to see a heritage asset cared for, conserved. But I think the process is as important, where people are coming together. They're talking. They're generating social capital. And it's society in action and it's community in action. And I think if we do heritage well, that's what we see. I think you could argue that where you see a really strong heritage on display and it's really well cared for, that you've got a really healthy society that's working together and that's achieving things. And I think it's a good indicator. I think it's something we have to try to develop more and more as well.
Ian Doyle, Head of Conservation with the Heritage Council, thank you for your time. Thank you for your passion. Good man, thank you so much. Thank you for listening to the Heritage Council podcast. For more information about our projects and programs, our work with others and our publications, please check our website, heritagecouncil.ie. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. See you again soon.